Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today live on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia. Don't know if you're into breakdancing. May sound like an odd question, I understand, at the top of the show, but I think that if you go back in the day, a lot of people were, and would you believe right now that the breakdancing championships are virtual this weekend, the Red Bull championships? We're going to be doing an interview coming up a little bit later in the show. Neguin is going to join us to talk about that. He's one of the judges in this. It's outside the box. It's different, but Joe, you know what? Baseball is done. It's time for us to take up breakdancing again. Happy to do it.
Yeah. One day without baseball and you have a midlife crisis. I don't understand. How does this happen? Oh, this is one day. It's only one day without baseball and you're on to breakdancing. Can't do a whole day of football. You just can't do it. You're on to breakdancing, in the words of Bill Belichick. By the way, I don't know about in your youth. Were you a bit of a breakdancer? And did you have a breakdancer name or did you have a breakdancer handle or something like that?
Yes and no. I did attempt. I was not very good, but I was definitely a breakdancer in my youth in the 80s. Very into the old school hip hop. So yes, I definitely respect that. I did not walk around with a tile and spray it like a lot of the kids I knew did and then try to spin on my back or on my head. I didn't go that far with it. But I think that you're going to find that me and Neguin have a lot in common. And so coming up in about 10 minutes from now, you're going to hear him and hear about what this championship is all about this weekend. I'm very excited to have him coming up on the show. He's one of the best in the world. So a sport that we'll cover here on Sports Grid, breakdancing. Again, it is virtual this weekend, so a lot of it is going to be done online. But you'll see the video of just how popular this was. 15,000 people in an arena watching these guys break dance.
Oh, I've seen it. I have seen it on TV before, and I've seen some of these giant dance competitions that they have, these dance crew competitions. They're phenomenal. I mean, you want to talk about athleticism, right? You want to talk about what these people are able to do. It's stunning, the choreography and some of the things that they are able to pull off. So it's very cool. I think it's great that we're doing it. And I know you're an old school hip-hop guy at heart. Everybody who knows you deep down. Craig Mish is a deep-down hip-hop guy. Everybody knows that.
Very, very much so. All right. Well, I wish I was a Christian McCaffrey guy, but then again, maybe the good news is that I'm not, because he is not going to play tonight. That starts our headlines tonight. Panthers against the Falcons. The line is sitting at 2. No McCaffrey tonight, so the Mike Davis show continues, at least for the time being. Well, what would a week be without any positive COVID tests in the NFL? It would be impossible, it seems. At the very least, we know that at least one member of the Giants has tested positive, so they're isolating the offensive line. And honestly, before we freak out about this, the Raiders had those issues last week, and even though they didn't look good against Tampa Bay, they still did field their offensive line. So, and again, Giants play Monday night, so we'll give it a little time here before we start freaking out on the Giants. And the Chargers are also working virtually today. Not really sure what that is all about, but they haven't really made an announcement. And again, we're here, Joe and I, doing the show on the East Coast. Out on the West Coast, it's early there still. So we'll give it an hour or two to figure out what's going on with the Los Angeles Chargers. Okay, there is some baseball news today, and it is a scary time if you're set to make $10 million a year in baseball right now and your name isn't Trout or Betts or someone else, because a lot of options are not being picked up and players are being designated. Cardinals declined their option on Colton Wong. Wong is like a three war player, gold glove award winner at second base. Look, Wong is not the best second baseman in baseball, but you would think that a 1 year scenario for $12 million would be well worth having a player like that out there. The Cardinals say no. And so he is gone. He'll be a free agent and we'll have to try and get a contract of $10 or $12 million in the offseason. Also, the Astros let go of Roberto Osuna, who, of course, had his issues in the past, but I think some team will absolutely take a shot on him. It may not be an option for $10 million, but $2 or $3 million, someone will see if he could throw 98 again and put him in the back end of the bullpen. And also good news for those of you who live in the state of Tennessee, sports betting set to go live Sunday morning, 9 a.m., and I can tell you that betting is just huge in the South. As a matter of fact, Joe, a couple of years ago, when they legalized sports betting in Mississippi, me and a couple of buddies went to Biloxi and spent Saturday night and all day Sunday betting on sports in the casino. It was the first time ever that I had live betting on sports in a casino in the United States. That was 2 years ago. So congratulations That's to cool. Tennessee, too. Should be legal everywhere as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of things should be legal everywhere, if you catch my drift, if you know what I'm talking about. I just voted for it here in New Jersey. Let's go. I'll be a very calm Joey P. Maybe, who knows, after the first of the year, we'll see what happens. But I have a question for you. Was it on one of those like riverboat kind of things, like in Ozark? Is that where you did the gambling in Mississippi? Because when you say Mississippi gambling, for me, I don't know why, but that is the first thing that comes into my head. Like, I picture you with a hat of some kind and perhaps like a cigarette on one of those sticks, placing your bets and doing your stuff there, because that would be kind of cool. Like, I don't know about you, but I know you're more of a gambler person than I've been in my life. I am definitely getting into the wagering the last few years, without a doubt, now that it's been legal in New Jersey for a while. But have you ever been on a riverboat gambling excursion? Because if not, I feel like we might have to do a remote next year somewhere.
I have. I've been on gambling cruises, is what they're called here in Florida. Uh-huh, but okay. As far as the Mississippi one, the Biloxi is on the water. But no, we did just go to a casino.
It was land.
And it was, I think it was the Hard Rock. I want to say, yeah, we went to the Hard Rock, but they have three or four really big casinos there. So it was really cool. It was good to go there. Actually did okay. Ended up not losing, which is what you want to do anytime you go to a casino. But bottom line is Tennessee now legal. Let's get Florida legal. I know we're going to be last in line here, but we'll get it figured out eventually. Okay, coming up next, it is the big championship coming up this weekend for breakdancing. And I couldn't be more excited to have Nguyen on the show next to tell you what it entails and what it's all about. Hopefully you'll enjoy. Coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we thought we would switch it up a little bit today. The Global Breakdancing Competition is going on virtually this weekend. And look, I've always been very intrigued by breakdancing. You'd be very surprised to know that Craig Mish, back in the day, in the 80s and the 90s, when this first started coming out, I was one of those kids who was out there with my tile, spinning around on the ground, trying to make something of it. It didn't work. For my next guest, not only did it work, he is a former champion. He'll be competing this weekend. I've watched some unbelievable videos of him on YouTube. Nguyen joins us here. on Fantasy Sports Today. Nagin, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm doing very well. Speaking live and direct from New York City.
Well, I'm very excited to go over this with you and kind of start from the beginning. How did you decide that this was your passion? And when did you decide to make this into something that you could be so successful and a professional at?
Mm-hmm. Well, I started at a very young age. I'm originally from Brazil. I started doing Brazilian martial arts called capoeira, which is a Brazilian holistic approach to art form. So I was 3 years old. And then 10 years later, I decided to learn about breaking, you know, known as breakdance. So I mixed it up to different coaches, to different art forms. And collectively, I became very recognized for the style that I do. And I took that to another level internationally. So I started around my teenage time, 13, 14 years old. I was already traveling internationally.
Yeah, and the amazing part about what you've done, and I watched the videos, is that it's really intense, the competitions. And I know this year will be different being virtually, but watching those competitions, it reminds me of the 80s and being in New York and these rap competitions where everyone's like staring each other down. And you're essentially putting on a show for the world, of course, online, but the people there really get excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially nowadays that evolved so much from the 70s and the 80s, as you're mentioning. You know, we're all over different platforms. So, like, for instance, you take Red Bull BC1, you know, which is the most prestigious one-on-one competition. So, yeah, like you say, it can be like me versus you. You're from Russia, I'm from Brazil, and vice versa. So do a battle. And then we see who's the champion, the world champion. So I've been there many different occasions. I judge, I competed, I did the performance. So, you know, now as an ambassador of the competition, I make sure the culture keeps growing to the highest level.
Yeah, and it really has. And you mentioned the BC1 prestige is just amazing of how this has grown through the years. So I would ask you, in terms of your routine, the one thing that I see is that a lot of the competitors, in watching not just you, but everybody else, have to keep it fresh, have to keep it new. There's always some little wrinkle here that changes. And so when you're going to be competing coming up this weekend, how have you prepared yourself for this? And has doing this virtually changed the way that you're going to do it?
Just to correct here, I'm not competing, but I will be judging.
Oh, you're judging. Okay.
But anyway, as a judge, as a competitor, you have to keep yourself active and making sure that you stay relevant to the scene, to the culture, because, you know, like, besides the athletic parts of it, that you have to keep it up, training and creating and being original and make sure that your name is out there, you have to be relevant to the culture. So you need to, you know, do work.
And when did you win the championship? Was it 2010? Did I see that?
Yeah, exactly. That was my first one.
What was it that got you the championship at that time?
Well, first of all, that time I was younger. I was 22. I think it was just a time that was competing so much at the time. You know, I was really competing all the events, you know, international, national, small event, big event. I was constantly like competing a lot. So after that, I dedicated myself to different art forms. I'm also a DJ. I'm also choreographer for a lot of different artists. You know, I work with Madonna, I work with Cirque du Soleil, I work with Jennifer Lopez, you know. So I think, like, when you're in a state of competitive, like, mindset, I think that's when you actually become the champion. But it's not just about that. This art form is about, you know, being able to express yourself as many different art forms as you can do it, you know. So yeah, it's not just about the competition. So I'm a competitor. I can compete tomorrow if I want to. I'm prepared for it. But on top of that, what else can I do with the art form of breaking? You know, you can use that as a tool to reach out to so many different ways to express yourself.
Yeah, and I noticed that you've been involved in taking your talents, not only in competition, but mainstream as well, and working with other global artists. So if you wouldn't mind talking about that and where we may have seen you before.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, despite like the movies and the tour, world tour with Madonna or different artists, I try to be whatever I go. So you might be seeing me in a commercial, in a movie or whatever. The most important thing is that we do it for fun. You know, we do for the love and passion to this culture, you know, so you can take that to a different level as your career. You know, it's like you believe in yourself and you can do it, because if you believe, you achieve.
And what will you be looking for this weekend, coming from someone who is a champion and has all the experience looking at this as a judge? What advice would you give to the kids and the adults who were competing at this weekend?
Yeah, the most important that as a judge, you look for everything, like the performance overall, the energy, the creation aspect of it. But most important is to see somebody that's being themselves. So the competitor, they have to be themselves because it's your name that's there. Like, I'm like nobody. So Negin is Negin. Hong Ten is Hong Ten. Ronnie is Ronnie. You know, like, so there's so many different, like, legacy that resonate with the name of each B-boy. So, you know, you have to do your work. You have to make sure you represent yourself and do your work out there.
Okay. So now when I was younger, and I was doing this as a kid, and Negin, I'm much older than you. I'm 47.
When I
remember doing this, you know what it was? It was taking that laminate and bringing it to the skating rink and then like swiping it down a little bit and trying to spin on my back and spin on my head. And so when I saw that you were willing to do an interview today, I was wondering, like, for somebody like me who's been out of the game for so long, if I wanted to pop and lock, get back in, what do I do? How do I get started?
It's never too late, you know, and you're one of the originator, I can say, because
I am an originator.
You did it. Exactly. So you're an OG. And it's never too late. You just got to keep active, you know, like, and bring it that, like I say, it's a passion thing. So if you enjoy, like, there's a friend of mine, he's about 50 something right now too, Steven. And Steve is like, he's a businessman, but also he breaks.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like you can use that as your hobby as well. So it's never too late.
Yeah. And we talk so much, Negin, on this show about mainstream sports. You know, we talk about football, baseball. I mean, I'm honest with you, Negin. That's more or less our focus. But when I heard about this, I guess my last question to you is that how would you compare the sport that you are involved in from somebody who's a B-boy and then on to a judge to some of the other mainstream sports that a lot of our viewers are watching today? What does it prepare?
Well, to be a professional B-boy, a breakdancer, you have to understand how much you have to work on this. Like, for instance, if you see somebody doing a head spin, 50 rounds, you know, just upside down, defining gravity, it's beyond sports. So it's way too difficult. It's a way of healing. So it's beyond what words can express. In that sense, myself, as a martial artist background, so I come from sports as well, you know. I do so many different sports. I play soccer, I play capoeira, I'm a jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter. I do so many different things. So, and what I found more difficult is it's dance, it's break dancing, it's breaking, you know. So it's something that to put in the knowledge that is just like, wow, it's, you know, it's hard as well, but it's a magical thing, you know, and it's there for us to take advantage of it and represent that. No matter if you're dancing or if you're teaching the next generation, that's something that is going to be here for a long time.
No, Negin, it's great to catch up with you and enlighten people on this, because I think that for me, it takes me back to my youth. So I'll be watching this weekend. Is it on YouTube Live this weekend? Is that where?
Yeah, it's all over the YouTube and Red Bull channel. So, you know, you just make sure you tune to Red Bull BC1 on Instagram, on Facebook and everything. The information is going to be there.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Negin, congratulations on all the success. You know, it means a lot for me for you to take time out of your day to join us here on Fantasy Sports today. Maybe one day Sports Grid will be betting on breakdancing. Who knows?
Absolutely.
It's a wild world we live in these days. Thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate it. And may the best man or woman win this weekend. Have fun in that competition, okay?
Salute.
All right. There he is.
Thanks
Negin
so
joining
much.
Us here. Breakdancing competition this weekend. BC1, it is all about them, and Red Bull this weekend. Make sure you catch it on YouTube and the Red Bull channel. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today in just a couple of minutes. Back to football we go. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We'll get back to football here in a minute, but man, the carnage just continues in baseball, and who knows what we're going to be up against here in 2020 as teams in Major League Baseball, Joe, have basically until Sunday to determine whether or not they're going to pick up option on players. And the other thing that teams are doing is before November, they have to make some decisions in terms of the 40-man roster. We told you earlier in the show, Roberto Osuna's option was declined, and so he'll be a free agent. Colton Wong also will be a free agent. How about Brad Hand of the Cleveland Indians waived today? Didn't pick up his $10 million option. And Joe, I'm going to guess he'll probably clear through. No one's going to pay him $10 million, I guess. But man, pretty good reliever there that you can have for free right now. You don't have to trade for the guy. You can get him for free. I don't know what that speaks to the finances of what we're where we're headed here in baseball in 2021, but I know they have Karinchak. He pitched very well for them last year, no doubt. They have other very high leverage arms, but that's a free good arm for some team, I would think, this year.
Well, how about free, but certainly a good one. I'm sure somebody's going to pay that guy. But I also kind of wonder, is this Major League Baseball team starting to prepare for the storm of 2021? Not just, you know, what happened in 2020, and obviously, you know, revenues being what they are, probably down from not having people at the ball games and all that stuff, but also the looming CBA, which we all know is there. We all know it's coming. We all know that the big free agents, as you always say, are probably going to find their homes regardless. It's those one-year deal guys or the guys that might have normally gotten two or three. They have to settle for 1 year now. Is that where things are going? Is that the trend because of the uncertainty of the labor agreement?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know so much about that. I think the first part of it is correct, though. I think that teams lost money and they're uncertain what 2021 is going to look like. They're uncertain if full fans are going to be able to go to games in the stands, and the owners still want to make as much money as possible. And so, unfortunately, the bar is being set not at a high level, but a low level. And a lot of the options for multi-million dollar players are not getting picked up. And Hand in particular, just 2 years ago, you can make a case was a top five closer in reality and fantasy. Now, last year dipped a little bit, but still I would think, I mean, I don't think he goes the Andrew Miller route where he just falls apart. Like, unfortunately, Miller did last year with St. Louis. I think Hand still can pitch. He probably can't pitch for anybody this year for $10 million, I'll tell you that. But I would think that some team at a $2 or $3 million with an option of some kind would be able to pick him up. I think we're a long way from done. I'm curious who else is going to get cut over the next 24 hours. We'll see. Think about that. Osuna and Hand going into 2018.
That's a pretty good bullpen right there. Hey, if you went out and got both of those guys, right, going into next year, that's a remake of a bullpen really quick. And who knows? Maybe you can get them both on one-year deals the way things are going. I mean, I think they will.
Yeah,
that's probably more like it. I wonder if we're going to get more names as the show even progresses today, because we've already gotten a few as we've kicked things off here. So, it's going to look in terms of the finances of baseball. Obviously, the finances of baseball are healthy and fine. We all know that. It's just where payrolls are going to be. And people can argue that there's been money spent in certain spots, and maybe the bullpen is one of them where they've spent too much over a bullpen over the last few years. And you see these guys who are able to come in there out of nowhere and get the same job done, and the heavy specialization that's happened in Major League Baseball too. And maybe the overpaying of relievers is something that was a trend that you're going to see maybe come back to earth a little bit. And these things happen. They're cyclical in baseball, where there's trends of things and what's valued and what's not. And inevitably, they all come around to roost eventually. So maybe it's just the bullpen guys today. Who knows what it is tomorrow, but definitely a trend worth keeping an eye on.
All right, let's check out the Thursday night football game tonight. As we got a couple college football games, we also have one pro game. We got Atlanta taking on Carolina, and the Panthers fell short last week against the Saints. They had a good shot to win, but Saints ended up prevailing. Carolina did cover. On the flip side, Atlanta blew another game, which should come as no surprise. They've blown four leads already this year. Panthers are -2. The line opened up at 3. For whatever reason, it's gone down to 2. The total is 51.5. And Carolina played Atlanta back in week 3. They won 23-16. I feel like it's a trap for me in this game for some reason, because when I look at these two teams, Joe, I see Carolina as a much better football team here, but clearly the line does not indicate that. And I suppose the reason why is that the Panthers' defense is still probably not among the top 15 or 20 top defenses in the NFL, but neither are the Panthers. Maybe there's a little bit of a lean to the over here. It's not a game that I'm particularly interested in, but because I ended up picking up Teddy Bridgewater, I guess that I will have some interest in watching this game tonight, because it'll be on my fantasy team. From a fantasy perspective, this is actually somewhat of a compelling game, because you definitely have two running backs that are starting in fantasy. Mm-hmm. You probably have 3 or 4 receivers that are starting, and maybe a tight end. So there could be some interest for me tonight in this game.
No, it's a good fantasy game, and the Panthers' defense is green. You know, I don't want to say they're good or bad yet. They're very inexperienced. They're probably the youngest unit actually in the NFL right now, collectively in terms of starters. So if they grow together, there's a chance here that they're going to be good in a couple of years. Who knows? Maybe even by the end of the season, they really start to pick things up. But the Atlanta defense has been terrible. What makes this game so difficult, I think, to judge is the explosiveness of that Atlanta offense. And we all know that as bad as that defense is, that's as good as the offense is. I mean, how many defenses have an answer for Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley? The answer is almost none. And that is what makes a game like this so difficult to pick. And it doesn't matter where this game is, because those kind of weapons are so transcendent. Then they always have an opportunity to be relevant. They always have an opportunity to win. And I guess if you want to make some money tonight, it would feel like the Atlanta side of this game is the way to do that. But that being said, on the flip side, Mike Davis, as a running back, has a great opportunity to score points and bounce back after a down week. This might be his last full week, as Christian McCaffrey, we thought was missing last week, to come back so he can start in this Thursday night game. But apparently that's not the case. So he gets a great matchup here against the Falcons, who give up a ton of points to running backs who what? Catch the ball out of the backfield. And Mike Davis has done that successfully. And there's rumors that Mike Davis will continue to catch the ball and be part of this offense even when CMC is back. We'll see how that goes. But I have to say, as a CMC owner myself in several leagues, I don't remember how many times I've had a number one pick. Not very often. This year I had 3 of them. And all 3 of them I had Christian McCaffrey. And let's just say it's been a rough slate. And in one of those leagues, I really thought maybe one of them I should try to trade him and not wait this thing out. Because you always think, okay, 3 to 4 weeks. And in my head, I'm going, okay, it's probably at least 4, maybe 5 to 6 before I get him back here. And here we are. It's week 8, and he's still not back. And it's basically your whole season now. And it's been really frustrating. I think it's been very tough here for CMC owners. And if you dealt him for anything, you are probably better off than if you've been holding him. And the same thing happened last year with Saquon Barkley. And even when he came back early, he was kind of a shell of himself. It wasn't until really the latter part into the fantasy playoffs where Saquon was good. And I don't know how many teams that actually helped. Maybe 1 or 2 lucky ones that had him and were still able to overcome those bad games. Or maybe traded for him, but they had such a good team they could stomach it anyway. But it's been really difficult. It's very difficult when you have a player who's so transcendent that you spend that capital on that number one guy in Christian McCaffrey. And then he misses the majority of the season. And you said yesterday on the show, let's give him a pass going into next year because he was healthy in his college career. He's been healthy in his NFL career. And we've all been asking the question, when does it catch up with McCaffrey? It caught up this year. Let's hope this is not the beginning of issues with injuries. I'm with you. I think he would probably go back to being at least the conversation for the number one overall pick. But if he asked me who the safest number one pick is in the NFL, you're probably looking at guys like Kamara. You're probably looking at guys right now like Derrick Henry. And maybe Ezekiel Elliott if Dak is back and everything looks okay in Dallas. Because right now, even Dalvin Cook, who's had a great season and another injury, that is every single season that he's played, he has missed time with an injury.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think the first round's going to look very different next year. For the first time, we'll have, I think, 8 or 9 guys different from the year before, which is not normal. A couple of injuries to just update you with on. We got Julian Edelman underwent a small procedure. Small, probably major for us, small for an NFL player, but he's going to miss this week. And you obviously have to be concerned about him moving forward. He's had a phenomenal career, but this is not 2020 has not been his season for sure. He's been a non-factor in almost every game. And also Deontay Johnson hurt again, now this time with a toe injury. He missed practice today. So if he was unable to play, maybe that would put Claypool back in again, Joe. But I think more of the focus in reality is Edelman, because he's a big name. He's a Super Bowl MVP. And look, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. he probably had to play a few more years, and I don't know that that'll be possible at this point, but a lot of love for Edelman. He was a great player for a long time, but it seems like things are starting to catch up with him a little bit.
It's an interesting question about Hall of Fame for Julian Edelman. I mean, it's him and Jerry Rice. I know Brett was saying it before the break, and it's true. I mean, in terms of postseason stats and receiving stats, I mean, those are the guys hand in hand. Now, granted, Edelman's played on great teams here with the Patriots, but at the same time, he had a very good NFL career, and a lot of Hall of Fame is based upon what you did in big moments in the playoffs and what you did in big moments in Super Bowls, and Julian Edelman certainly has that on his resume. He has some big seasons with catches. Considering they put five people in every year, Julian Edelman might get his day there in Canton. I don't think it's absurd to think that he might, regardless of how his career finishes. And I think Julian Edelman's body's been breaking down the last few years. You know, that last ACL injury that he had, I think the guy he is a monster in terms of what he's able to take physically. He gets knocked around by guys that are twice his size on a regular basis for the last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it's been. And he gets up. He macks him on the head, and he gets back to the huddle, and he goes out and catches 10 more balls. It's crazy what this guy's been able to do. But I think that style of play eventually has caught up with Julian Edelman. And even though he wasn't a receiver in college or high school or anywhere else, he wasn't a receiver until he got to the NFL, I think the NFL toll has really taken its time with him. And I think it's time that, unfortunately, Julian Edelman's career might be winding down, which is very sad as a Patriots fan. But it's been a great career, maybe even a Hall of Fame-worthy career. Now, in terms of fantasy, I think it's time to move on, and it's just another weapon that's going to be missing for the Patriots, who don't have any to begin with, which is a real problem.
Yeah. Jacoby Myers, I suppose, will get more looks, but look, Cam Newton couldn't find any best of anybody.
But, yeah, Demir Byrd got open more than anybody, but even he couldn't catch the football because Cam kept throwing over him.
Yeah, hard to envision starting anyone on New England this week, but look, maybe someone will come out of it, and maybe next week. Week you can start someone. Can't hurt to pick them up if you have a free roster spot, that's for sure. Okay, Fantasy Reality is coming up next. Don't forget, we'll be right back here on the Friday edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Jim Stannis will join us to go over some DFS action, and we'll go over some picks at the West Coast with Howard Bender. Fantasy Reality on deck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back. Craig and Joe here with you as we close out our show. About 30 minutes to go. Make sure you stay on the grid. We got golf coming up a little bit later, as well as Scott Farrell going coast to coast. A lot of boxing action going on this weekend, and Scott will have that covered for you as well. Also, our great shows are all over at SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. We have our YouTube page up. Like and subscribe to our show if you wouldn't mind. And also check us out on Twitter at SportsGrid. I know, Joe, coming up this Sunday, Sunday mornings were meant for fantasy football right here on the grid and 8 a.m. or 8 a.m. Eastern. You'll be live, and looking forward to you and your cast of characters going through fantasy football Sunday. We're going to need some help this week, that's for sure.
Yeah, you will. It's going to be a fascinating DFS slate to break down. I know you got Jim on tomorrow to do it, and I'll have some things to chime in as well, help folks out. But 8 a.m., we're going position by position, segment by segment, helping you out, get your FanDuel lineups ready, because there is a big divide at running back this week. You've got a big top tier with guys like Henry and Kamara over 9K and Dalvin Cook, and then you've got a drop-off where it's a bunch of guys in the 5-9s, and you got to figure out which guys and which strategy to go with depending on what contest you're doing. So if you're doing that, or if you're just setting your lineups just for season-long fantasy, we're the show for you. Fantasy Game Day right here on Sports Grid, 8 a.m., Matt Stryker, Joe Pizzapia, and, of course, the Eric Young will all be talking and breaking everything down for you. So don't miss it. We're a good time. You get your coffee, you get your fantasy football, and, I mean, what's better than that on Sunday morning? I don't know.
Yeah, I last week was in the negative again on the DFS. So this is the first time this season, 2 weeks in a row, I didn't make money. I put together such a good lineup. I don't know what I was thinking, though. I don't spend enough time looking at what I'm actually doing. I actually used Joe Herbert and Keenan Allen in a DFS lineup. And I was wondering, how did I not make money? I didn't check until Monday, and I went back and looked, and there were two reasons. The first reason was because I also had Mike Williams in there. Like, why did I have three Chargers? I have no idea. So I put Williams in my flex, If I would have had anyone else in my flex, mm-hmm. I would have made money. But I had Mike Williams along with Allen and Herbert. Herbert was a great call. It was very unused in all the tournaments. Mm-hmm. And then all I needed was 5 points to cash from Metcalf. That's all. I just needed five.
I will be on that DK Metcalf sob story with you because I had some lineups that were very good this week. Unfortunately, it was all Tyler Lockett. And I mean, literally all. And then, of course, you got that touchdown. Yeah. I thought it was a touchdown. That was the heartbreaker right there. But the pay lines were very high this past week. And look, the good news is last week when we were talking about games, we were very much on that Tennessee-Pittsburgh game as a whole. A lot of people thought that that would be a lower scoring game. We were very much on that game. So if you made big investments there, you did okay. We got a lot of things right last week too. And hopefully we'll be able to keep that trend going there on the program. But this week, I could tell you, we're going to be right back with Tennessee. We're going to be right back with that Cincinnati game too, because Cincinnati's defense is so bad. Look, we always talk about the good chalk. There's a lot of good chalk in that Tennessee game. Obviously, the big names on Tennessee, but also some of the lesser guys like Corey Davis. And the big question we're going to ask ourselves, I know tomorrow on Start and Sit, is where's Jonnu Smith at? Because Jonnu Smith was blocking basically the entire time. So is he blocking because number 1A, perhaps, it is the Pittsburgh Steelers' front is so good and they get to the quarterback so well, you want to protect the pass rush? Is it B, they need him now the rest of the season because Taylor Lewan is out? Is it C, he's not 100% healthy and he was just going out there and trying to block and he wasn't running a lot of routes? Or is it D, all of the above? And then I think that's
what about
a question we have to figure out. I don't know if there's an E, but I'll let you know. Maybe if I think about it tonight, there'll be an E. I don't know about an F. There could be an E. But there's a lot of things.
Let's go to L. Let's get down to L.
But there's a perfect example of a tight end that has so much upside in this game against Cincinnati and so much unknown. And how do you use him? And obviously the other end too, you've got Cincinnati with Joe Burrow and Gio Bernard looking like he could possibly be that starter again. And the amount of upside you get with guys like Higgins and guys like Boyd who look so good this year and Burrow coming off a good game. So that is a game I can tell you right now that most people are going to be excited about. We're going to call it the good chalk as we like to talk on the show. And I think we're going to be really diving into that game as well as obviously that San Fran-Seattle game too.
Right. Okay. Well, let's do fantasy or reality as we close it out here. There is going to be new ownership for the Utah Jazz, and the Jazz nickname will be back in New Orleans. What do you think about that, Joe? Fantasy or reality? Of course, New Orleans used to be named the Jazz, and that really made a lot of sense. And then Utah purchased it. It became the Utah Jazz. There's going to have to be some working out here, I would think, financially. Maybe this is the equivalent of a baseball player or an NFL player having to buy their number from someone. Maybe there's a cost involved here. I don't know, but it would seem to me that the New Orleans Pelicans never really felt right. But then again, I never really got the Toronto Raptors either. So we got this fantasy or reality on this.
Well, I mean, how about the Lakers in Los Angeles, right? We have teams that move from places, named one thing, and then they move somewhere else, and they don't change the name, which just feels weird. I think it should be a reality. I think it's going to be fantasy. And the reason why I say fantasy is only because look what's happening with Washington. They have to change their team name, and they haven't even moved. And look how long it's taking them to rebrand and do all this stuff. So I don't know. It seems like a really big task. Now, I don't know if you could just borrow all the stuff, but you can't really because you think about it. Even the jerseys, even back in the day, you know, they always had the mountain range on them. And you're looking, you're like, why is there like a mountain range on the Jazz? Like, why isn't it something with music? Or I don't know. But it was weird. Now, back in the even older times, I remember the little music note. They did have one of those uniforms, but I don't know, man. It just seems like you should have some kind of name that means something for the place that you play to me. It seems to make sense, but you can usually take logic and throw it out the window when it comes to sports and especially naming teams. Now, the real question is, Craig, do you have some alternate names? Because are you going to call them the Mountains? No, that's kind of weird. You could call them the Elk. Like, what else is there out in Utah? I don't know. I'm not real familiar. I haven't been.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lakes. You can't call them the Lakes because it's Lakers. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm gonna say fantasy. I'm gonna say the Utah Jazz sticks. I'm going against the grain here. I'm going contrarian. I think, listen, Brett Levy, our producer, knows way more about this than us. He's very strong on this, and so he's probably gonna be right and I'm gonna be wrong, but I'm going contrarian approach. I say nothing changes. Utah Jazz stay the same, New Orleans Pelicans stay the same, and we move on.
Hey, wait a minute. What about a three-way trade? Utah gets the name Lakers, right? Salt Lake City, right? You get that. Right. That would make sense, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the Lakers, that's not like they have a big history in the NBA. They can move on with that name. And then obviously you get New Orleans gets that other name. So really then the Lakers get to create a new name. And they're the champs, so maybe they call themselves the Los Angeles LeBrons going forward.
All right, there you go. You got all the answers, Joe. That's option L, by the way, for you. Okay, fantasy or reality, let's move to Major League Baseball. It's a scary time if your contract is up or if you have an option, that's for sure. At least one player this offseason will get a $250 million contract in free agency. Joe, we saw, if I'm not mistaken, three get 300 last year. I think that was mm-hmm. the case. And Mookie Betts ended up getting 300 too. So that's maybe four. But if I'm not mistaken, we saw a couple of $300 million contracts. And I'm thinking that it's not going to hit 300 this year. I don't think we'll see a Gerrit Cole. But 250 is the bar that I'm setting. And maybe that's too high too. I don't know. You tell me. Fantasy or reality?
Well, I mean, what are we looking at here? An 8-year, $27 million, or 20? I mean, 10 years, 25. I don't know if that free agent is on this particular market in this class. I guess Springer would be the first guy that comes to mind, but right. Springer is 30. So, I mean, are you giving him a 10-year deal worth 25? Okay, I mean, I guess that's maybe the most realistic guy, but he's had a lot of injuries as well, and that's going to take a lot. Now, I don't know if Trevor Bauer, somebody wants to overpay for that. It's not impossible, but if you ask Trevor Bauer, he doesn't want to sign more than a one-year deal anyway, so you can't really go by him. I kind of feel like it's
how about Springer at 7 years and like $35 million a year, something like that? No, too much.
Jeez, $35 million for George Springer? I don't know. That's kind of tough. That's a tough sell for me. Right. I don't think
you, so you got fantasy. You, would that? You?
Do you think he's worth that kind of, I mean, again, worth is a weird phrasing, but yeah, do you think that's an investment you make in Springer?
Yeah, see, that's the thing is that, I mean, look, I think there have to be some teams if they want to win. You can only get what you can, like unless you're going to make a trade. So, look, the Mets are going to be a candidate because of a new ownership. The Rangers are going to be a candidate. They got a new building there that they're going to want to fill. And who knows? Look, I don't think Boston's going that way, but there will be a team or two that's going to decide to do that. The other thing that's interesting here, from what I'm hearing at least, is what happens, Joe, if the Cubs tear it all down and make everyone available and those guys are dispersed? Then it hurts the free agent market. But anyway, go ahead, give me your answer, and then I'll give you mine. You got a fantasy or reality? 250.
I'm gonna say fantasy because I just don't think that guy is in this particular class. It's not like we have Harper or Mookie Betts or those guys. I mean, and I think Springer is a great player. I think he's a superstar, but I don't think he's transcendent franchise player. And maybe I'm wrong about that. I think he's an excellent player. I just don't think I put him in that same category as those guys. Maybe you do. Maybe you see it differently. Yeah. But I'm gonna say fantasy for me personally.
Would you get Bauer 250 if he decided he would take it?
I would not. He's pitched his way into it for 60 games. Yes. But Trevor Bauer has a checkered past in many ways.
I'm going to say fantasy, but I think that this is the numbers very close. I could see probably 240. I think we're going to get very close to this number with Springer. I think Realmuto is going to get close to 200. I think he's going to get very close to. I do think, unfortunately, we're going to be waiting. I think that this is going to be 2 years ago's free agency, where January, February stuff, we're going to be really sitting around waiting for guys to sign. I don't love to hear that, but I do think that's where we're headed. I am going to also agree with you. I'm going to say fantasy, but I do think if I would have made the number 225, I would have went over. I think it will be that close with Springer and maybe with JT. And look, Trevor Bauer has said he only wants to do one-year deals. I don't believe him. I think he's going to take a long-term deal with somebody. Someone will wake him up and say, hey, you got to take, but maybe I'm wrong. Oh, he's a different kind of guy. So to each his own. Okay. Interesting interview I saw yesterday with Matthew McConaughey. So I would ask you this, Joe, fantasy or reality? I just figured, I don't know why I threw this one in there today. The first three words ever said by Matthew McConaughey on camera in his life were, all right, all right, all right. Is that fantasy or reality?
I think this is almost like true or false. I think it's fantasy. I think he did some other movies before the Dazed and Confused moment, which is a great character. And I actually saw McConaughey. He's doing that book tour. So we must have seen, you know, the McConaughey book tour in different places. I saw him do an interview last weekend. And what a fascinating life and a fascinating guy he is. And a guy that, you know, certainly had an odd upbringing, to say the least. Big sports fan, too. Huge Texas Longhorn guy. Yep. Big time sports guy, without a doubt there. And a real philosopher, Renaissance man kind of guy. And I love McConaughey personally. And he also told a great story there about branching off from the romantic comedies that he was doing. They was making so much money. Then someone offered him he didn't want to do them anymore. He wanted to do some other things, and he basically stayed away from Hollywood for almost 2 years. And they offered him $30 million to do a movie, and he turned it down. And he said the movie actually never got made, but he was like, oh, man, that's a lot of money, $30 million. And then he went on to do movies like Dallas Buyers Club and some other performances that we really respect him a lot more as an actor. And I just give the guy so much credit. He's a fascinating guy. I hope the first words that of his kids when they were born was, all right, all right, all right. But I mean, I'm a big fan of McConaughey. Always was, always will be. Time to Kill was the first movie I ever really remember him being the star of, which was also a very underrated movie. But for you, do you think it's fantasy reality that his first words in a movie were, all right, all right, all right?
Well, I know the answer to this, and it is reality. Those are the first three words that he ever said in a movie. Yeah, in Dazed and Confused.
That was his first film. That's amazing. Wow.
Yep, it was his first film. Those were his first words. He said that he was getting ready to act for the first time. He was nervous. He didn't know what he was going to do in the scene because a lot of it was ad-libbed. And while he was sitting there thinking in the car, he came up with three different ideas of who he was going to be in character. And when they said action, he went, all right, all right, all right. You do three things.
And that's why he said commercials. Did he explain the Lincoln commercials with the bull and him staring there in the car? I don't think we have enough time in the show for that one.
I don't think anybody, like, he's one of those Tom Hanks types. Does anybody dislike him? So we'll come back and wrap it up here on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. We are Fantasy Sports Today, and we're here every day from noon to 2 Eastern, so make sure you tune in. If you're watching live, back here on Friday as we get you ready for the big college and fantasy football weekend. With that being said, let's turn it over to my co-host Joe Pizzapia as he closes out this Thursday with the Sports Grid 60. Joe.
It's week 8. Have you seen my Michael Thomas? Have you seen my Christian McCaffrey? I haven't seen them anywhere. It's been so long since the best running back and the best wide receiver in fantasy football, almost history, mind you, have been playing on the field. And everything is always trending in the wrong direction. Why? Why can't we get a good trend for the best players in fantasy football? It would make me a lot happier having plenty of shares of both of them this year. I know it would make a lot of other people happy as well. Perhaps the lesson to be learned in 2020 is this. If one of your best players or your best player or any player that you have has an injury of any kind that's going to miss them, oh, I don't know, a month, maybe you just take whatever you can get, you cut bait and move on, because the season is short and unforgiving. And as great as it is to have that number one talent, it's more important to have a talent on your roster actually starting.
Very well said there. Tough year for fantasy in general. Well, I think if there is a lesson to ever be learned on this show, there usually are not. But today, I think one. And it was the interview that we had earlier in the program with Nagin, who is a champion breakdancer and also now a judge. There are probably a lot of people watching the show saying, why are you even talking about breakdancing today? But it's to enlighten and it's to educate. And maybe there is somebody out there that is doing something in their life and chooses, hey, I want to try something new. And there's nothing wrong with that just because it doesn't fit to what you normally do. I mean, who was I to all of a sudden become a fantasy baseball or fantasy football guy or a reporter covering the Miami Marlins? These are all things that I decided to do. I mean, Joe went to school for acting. He became a sword fighter, and now he's been a fantasy host and an author for many years. Brett, our producer, worked in the NBA. He's the producer of this show on Sports Grid. There's basically nothing that you can do in this world if you don't set your mind to it. Just become very good at something and let your talent speak for the rest. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to everybody here at LTN, for Danny and Brett, my co-host Joe Pizzapia. I'm Craig Bitch. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Have a great day, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.